Was Eric Zorn walking out of the pool right now?
Eric Zorn is emerging from a pool. Misty.
He doesn't know what we're talking about.
Is this my new theme song? Because I kind of like it.
It's just for the
Fast
one day.
Fast Times at Ridgemont High, Phoebe Cates. Rick Ocasek died.
Oh,
Cars.
Yeah. I know. Is there anything more this morning about circumstances of his death? I guess they don't know.
As of this morning, they were still saying that the cause of death was unknown. He was 75, so you're already getting into that area where it's natural causes.
That's not getting into that area. Come on, we're almost there.
No.
See, 10 years ago, I would have just nodded. Now I'm just like, no, Bill, don't go there.
No, 90 is that territory.
Louis C.K., back when he was a force to be reckoned with in the world of comedy, used to do this thing about him turning 50. And he goes, if you die when you're 49, everyone is mystified by it. How could he die? He's 49 years old. The guy's dead. The minute you turn 50, people go, yeah, well, the guy was 50.
Yeah, he lived a nice, come on. A nice long life, right. The ripe old age.
Right.
Yeah.
And that shouldn't make us laugh.
No.
But it did.
So 75 is still young.
Yes, it is.
Well, it's young to die suddenly like that, just to die overnight. I mean, people die of lingering long illnesses all the time at that age, but to just be...
I'm with you.
Yep.
So,
in happier news, the Chicago Bears shocked us all yesterday by winning over the Denver Broncos. And you wanted to talk about a tweet that came across from the Bears kicker Eddie Pinero.
Well, it was really interesting because obviously it was a miraculous, seemingly miraculous victory.
I mean, it's a victory. I don't care what it was. I'll take it.
Yeah. Had you given up? Honestly, had you given up 4th and 15, whatever it was? Had you just said, well, you know.
I didn't watch it. I found out later. I always watch the highlights package afterwards because it's not good for my heart to watch
Bears. Oh, so you don't care? Or you just
He doesn't care.
It's not,
he
not
based
that I don't
the whole
care.
Season on the first game, and when they got blown out by the Packers, he was done again
I always
this
watch
year.
The first game.
He tumbles just off the bandwagon.
Yes.
The first guy off.
Yes.
You haven't been on the bandwagon in many years.
It's been a long time. It has been a long time.
I'm a Bears fan. I'm stuck with them. Whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, anyway, as we know, as I'm sure all listeners know, Eddie Pinero hits a
long field
53-yard field goal with essentially, 1 second left.
Yeah.
To win the game by 2 points.
Yeah. Right?
And then afterwards on the field, he's being interviewed by Fox News or Fox Sports. And he says, for everybody listening, man, if you don't believe in Jesus Christ, you better start because he's real. I promise you that.
Oh.
Says that during his on-field interview. And then he follows that up with a tweet that says, where's the tweet here? If you don't believe in God, you better start believing he's real. Capital letters, R-E-A-L.
But wouldn't God also be a fan of the Denver Broncos?
Well, not the Broncos.
No?
No.
Really? That's interesting.
He doesn't like those.
But I always wonder when the players are so thankful for what's happened and they thank Jesus and they thank God, I always think, but I think if everything was right in the universe, God would also be a fan of whatever team just beat you.
But they're thanking him they're thanking God or Jesus because that gave them the power to do something.
Yeah.
I don't mind when people thank him.
Yeah, I mean, the way I look at it is that we're used to these expressions, you know, where they point to the sky or after the game they say, you know, all credit to my Lord and Savior.
Yes.
To God is the glory, and so on. And I look upon those as expressions of humility, in a way of saying, like I know that I didn't get here on my own. And, mm-hmm. and of course, none of us got where we are on our own, whether that's a religious outlook or whether you just look at your life and say, well, look at all the opportunities I got and look at the family that I have around me, the friends, the people who supported me, all the things that go into success. Now, whether you want that to include a religious view, but it always struck me as sort of an expression of humility. Like you say, you know what,
This
is bigger than I am, and I'm grateful for the opportunity and the gifts that I had, the blessings, if you will, that got me to a point where I could do this.
Mm-hmm.
And that's sort of one thing in my mind, that kind of expression of of humility. This came across to me like a taunt. Like taunting non-believers and people and non-Christians. Like, you don't believe in Jesus.
How about this?
How about that field goal? How about that? And it really clanged as far as I was concerned. I thought it was like a sort of absurd and almost offensive.
But couldn't you say, where was God a year ago when Eddie Pinero was making or trying to make similar kicks and not succeeding?
God hated Cody Parkey.
He must have.
Oh, my God, yes. Just double doink. Are you kidding me? He was like, right. God, I was there going, like, how about a doink? No. Nah. And one of the angels said, hey, wait, I have a right. better. Wait.
I don't think you should knock people for having a relationship with God.
No, but this was beyond relationship. This was him saying to any of you non-believers, we just proved that religion exists. We just proved it with that kid.
I guess.
Yeah. It just went way too far. And so he's 24 years old, right?
Yeah.
He's really excited. He was 3 for 3. He won the darn game.
Yes, he did.
He's the leading scorer of the Bears by a lot this year. So there's a lot to be said for what he did and how he did it. And I do understand that. But I think, when you take a step back from that, look at what you just said here.
Yeah.
You just said that this field goal proves that your theological outlook is correct. And of course, this opens him up for the inevitable time when he's going to miss a big kick.
Because
it happens to every pro kicker.
So how will he explain that?
God was busy that day.
He's going to say, I guess this, or does it mean that if those of us who are offended by this can go and say, I guess this proves God is make-believe.
Or put $20 down in Minnesota.
Yeah, right.
So, as he will do.
So I just sort of put that thought onto social media today, and a lot of people responded to it.
What was the most common response?
A lot of people were striking the tone that Wendy was striking, which is technically you're right. Give the guy a break.
Mm-hmm.
He's a hero, and he came through this whole process of the Bears trading for him at the end, and all the pressure on the new kicker, and he succeeded, and so he blurts out something that reflects what's in his heart. Give him a break. So that's
what
that was said much better than I said.
I will say that's the Wendy Snyder take on this.
Watch any championship game or series in the waning moments of the game when they show the audience as the game is close, and you pick your sport. It could be basketball, it could be baseball, it could be hockey, football, whatever. You see so many people in the audience with their hands in prayer position, and why they're not doing that the rest of the game, but at the end of the game.
I think they're waiting to clap. I don't know that. I think they're just getting their arms poised and ready to clap.
But you see so many people.
Come on, Bill.
So before clapping, you want to put your hands in clap position?
But before? I've done that before when I'm not praying. It's just like you kind of put your arms up like your chicken wings and up to your mouth like, oh, come on, come on, come on, come on. Yes.
Oh, all right.
Yeah. I mean, the problem when you're, of course, when you're.
I'm not kidding.
Yeah? All right.
Wouldn't you be holding your hands like apart, like about 3 inches apart? So that
that's
you're ready,
your better. You get the noise right
so
away.
You're like the first one when the free
no,
throw
but you're kind of like
something.
Gripping something like Simon Bar Sinister,
Simon Bar Sinister.
Come on. Let's go.
Or you're holding hands like the ball players do on the bench in basketball games. So all the players
sometimes they'll hold hands
on the line. That's yep. right. It's
they
very
do?
Sweet.
Yeah, sometimes you'll see
sweet.
That.
You see that? Yeah. It's their expression of solidarity.
But you don't see the prayer pre-clap. You don't see that during the whole game until you're down to those last few key moments.
Well, it's very tense. I get that people are doing something with their hands. And of course, the idea that you can pray and that if you pray hard enough, your team is going to make the free throw or get the touchdown.
So does God, is it a numbers game where he says, I'm watching the game, I'm watching the Bears in Denver, and more people want the Bears to win, so I'm going to grant them that?
Is less that sinners on the team is how he goes.
He goes by that?
There are less sinners on the Bears. We'll make them win.
Every time Notre Dame does really well, you
right.
hear that. That's the claim from the Notre Dame faithful, is that that God is smiling on Notre Dame. I would like to think...
Yes,
that this is not the case. It reminds me a little bit of when like Jerry Falwell and those guys would say, "Oh, the hurricane struck Louisiana because there are so many sinners in New Orleans." Like, no. And then, of course, when a tornado rips through the Bible Belt, they're like, "Oh,
right.
Who knows? Satan."
Yeah,
it's just like you never know.
Yep.
So it just seems like one of those things where I appreciate the expression of humility in a case like that. I think that that's really an important lesson for everybody, which is like, hey, all the things in Eddie Pinheiro's life that led up to him being able to have the skill to kick that ball that far and have the opportunity to be there to do that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there were a lot of things that worked together, and how, whatever you want to ascribe that to, you can't say, well, I'm just the greatest and that's why. And no matter where I was born or who, you know, into what circumstance or what country, I would have been here to do that. That's obviously not true. So you can, you know, however you want to ascribe all the circumstances that led him to be there, and thank goodness he made it, right?
Yep.
Or thank God.
Yes. Yeah. All right. Thank you. More with Eric Zorn in just a little bit. Bill and Wendy, WGN. Eric Zorn is here, columnist for the Chicago Tribune. Wasn't it nice to see your fellow mincing rascal get recognized on Friday?
It was really nice that we. I went to the hall. Is it
the Walk of Fame?
Walk of Fame.
Yeah.
There's no walk anymore, but
not currently. They're scouting out a new location.
Still over there, isn't it?
It's over there by Tribune Tower, but
under the scaffold,
it's a little dangerous to take it all in.
There's a guy, one of the MCs looked a lot like you, but he didn't have a baseball hat, so I don't know who that was.
Ryan Reynolds, probably.
It was really a nice event.
Yeah.
I had no idea. I just thought that they were going to gather in a circle and say, there you go. You're in the Walk of Fame now. You happy?
No, it's bigger.
No, it's really nice. Yeah. Does any other broadcast outlet in town do that? I don't think so.
I don't think so. I think we're the
Tribune,
only ones.
They're not worthy.
Tribune doesn't have a Walk of Fame, although what we do have is in our new offices, we have all these little glassed-in meeting rooms, and they're all named for people who've won Pulitzer Prizes.
Oh, that's impressive.
That's kind of cool. So
that's
like
nice.
There's a Mary Schmeek room and
so
on.
Oh, very nice.
So
I saw Mary, by the way, in front of the Tribune. She was taking pictures. For people who don't know, the Tribune Tower is part of it is being demolished. Not the part up front, because that's landmark status, so they can't demolish that. But the whole back part, where all the offices were, it looks like it's been bombed out.
And that was just an old addition that they put on sometime in the 50s or something. It was really pretty ugly.
But Mary was out taking pictures last week.
Her office was right there on the window.
She showed us where her office was. And it was very emotional for her, as it should be.
Yeah, it was emotional leaving that place. It was well over a year ago that we left that building.
Yeah.
And the thing is that our new offices are really much better.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it doesn't
look... But the history's not there. I mean,
you don't look like you're walking into it. You don't feel like you're walking into a cathedral anymore. We're in the Prudential Building. And
right.
It's like we just walk in. But the, you know, the desks and everything, it's cleaner and everything else. So it's better to be... Hey, speaking of Mary, have you heard this BBC Two documentary they did? You know, it's the 20-year anniversary that her Always Wear Sunscreen. You remember this famous
The Buzz Lehrman version, right?
Yeah, that she wrote a column in 1997. It was advice to graduates. And it was just, you know, it was one of these things, she was walking to work, didn't know what she was going to write about. And she literally saw a woman sunbathing out on Oak Street Beach and said, you know, this poor girl, I hope she's wearing sunscreen because she's going to pay for it.
Because
Mary feels like if she had worn sunscreen, she would have been much better off when she was younger. So she writes this column, Always Wear Sunscreen, and then had these other bits of advice, and then at the end says, but just take my advice on the sunscreen if you don't listen to me. So this column goes viral in the way that things did in 1997. It gets passed around a lot. It gets attributed to Kurt Vonnegut.
Yeah.
And then Baz Luhrmann picks it up, the guy for the Australian
filmmaker
and impresario. Yeah. He makes a record. The record goes to number one in the UK and Australia. And they did an entire hour-long documentary about the advice in this column, and about the song, how the song came to be, and then they had Mary record some of it, and they put her reading it over the music.
It was a very unlikely hit. Would you agree? Even though it's a great column, you wouldn't think, well, this will turn itself into a number one hit record.
What was the song? Because I even heard her on with John Williams talking about
Everybody's
this.
Free, I think it was the song. The title of the song was Everybody's Free, Wear Sunscreen. I think it's a sort of a mashup. And they interview people for whom the lyrics of that song still really resonate about, you know, being kind to your knees because you miss them when they're gone and things like that. There's all kinds of like little wry asides and the documentary is really, it's amazing. I saw Mary sent me the link and I was like, an hour? Really? About one column? I don't know, Mary. But it really is, it's great.
It's fascinating.
Great listening,
but you know what's interesting? It's strange that we're talking about this today. We talked to Keir Dulé from the movie 2001 A Space Odyssey.
Yeah.
And the way that message is delivered in that song always reminded me of the way HAL 9000 spoke in 2001. Oh. Just very calm, even though it's the voice of reason, but there's danger behind the voice.
I can't do that, Bill.
Wear sunscreen. If I could offer you only one tip for the future, sunscreen would be it. The long-term benefits of sunscreen have been proved by scientists.
Does it kick in?
The rest of my trying to solve an algebra.
This is where this is the kick in.
That's where you start dancing.
A real trouble. And this is all inspired by Mary Schmidt.
By Mary's column.
Totally.
Yeah.
Totally. And she says that one of the reasons why it got the momentum that it got, she thinks, is because it was attributed originally to Kurt Vonnegut. People said this is Kurt Vonnegut's graduation speech at MIT.
Right.
Kurt Vonnegut never spoke at graduation at MIT, and Kurt Vonnegut was amused by the confusion.
And she called him.
She called him. she said she had one like blinding moment of fear, which is like, did somehow I write this and steal it from Kurt Vonnegut without knowing?
Oh, wow.
You might tell a joke sometime and go, wait a minute, did I?
Yeah.
Mary says it's by far the weirdest thing that's ever happened to her. She writes this column, and I wrote this really wonderful column about how giving nose hair clippers is, I think, the best gift you could give to somebody.
Yeah.
And I don't know why I haven't had a hit song with that.
Well, I remember Prince picked up on it, and he turned that into a song that didn't do well.
It just never did well.
No,
I'm really bummed about that.
Great to see you, Eric.
Thank you, Eric.
See you a week from today. That's Eric Zorn of the Chicago Tribune. Coming up, the stories that matter with Don Kleppen from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom on WGN Radio.